Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help.
When embarking on digital transformations, most organizations have a number of questions that they want to answer before they get started. And today I want to talk about the top 10 frequently asked questions that we get from clients when they embark on digital transformations. My name is Eric Kimberling. I'm the CEO of Third Stage Consulting. We're an independent consulting firm that helps clients through their digital transformation journeys. And when we work with new clients that are getting started on their transformation, we hear a lot of the same questions repeatedly throughout the process. And there's a number of them that are very critical to have answered and to have a good indicator of what the right answer is before getting started on your transformation. And many of these topics I've covered in other videos. If you watch on my YouTube channel, you'll see some more detailed videos. But what I want to do today is cover those 10 most frequently asked questions in sort of a lightning round format to give you a quick overview, executive summary of the things you need to know and the answers you need for those frequently asked questions. One of the first questions we get is, why do digital transformations fail? And there's a lot of reasons why, a lot of symptoms that you might hear throughout transformations, but two of the root causes that we most commonly see that lead to a lot of the other symptoms that you might see in a troubled implementation, first of all, you have internal misalignment at the executive level on down through the organization. And what I mean by that is you have a strategy as an organization, but your digital transformation and the way you're executing and leading that transformation isn't necessarily aligned with the overall corporate strategy. So that's one root cause of why transformations fail, is that sort of internal and strategic misalignment. The second root cause of failure that we most commonly see is misaligned expectations. So we go into the project thinking that we can implement with less time, less money, and less resources than is realistic. But in reality, we had a plan and budget all along that was never realistic. So we end up cutting corners and cutting critical success factors in our project in a quest to back into an unrealistic expectation. And that leads to a lot of problems later on. So if we were to do two things to avoid failure, it'd be to ensure that we have internal alignment and to ensure that we have realistic expectations. And that won't solve all of our problems, but it's a good start, and it certainly helps address some of the symptoms that we see later on in troubled transformations. A second question we often get is, what are the best software vendors in the market? If I'm looking at ERP systems or CRM or HCM, supply chain management, whatever the case may be, what are the best systems? What's the best one that I could deploy to help my business the most? And this is probably the toughest one to answer because there is no one-size-fits-all answer, and it really all depends on what your needs are. But some of the leading software vendors that we most commonly see on the ERP side, for example, you certainly have your SAP and your Oracle, kind of the large tier one ERP systems that are more suitable for the Fortune 500 or larger multinational organizations. But you also have in the mid-market, you have organizations or vendors like Microsoft Dynamics 365, you have Infor, you have Epicor, you have a number of other systems that can help in the mid-market. And then smaller organizations often will gravitate toward something like a NetSuite, something that provides a scaled down but scalable type of solution for small and high growth organizations. And then when we look at CRM systems, some of the leading CRM or customer relationship management systems are going to be systems like Salesforce, Sage CRM, Microsoft CRM. Those are some of the most common ones we see. And then there's also human capital management software, where Workday and SuccessFactors, for example, are two very common systems that we see in that space. And then finally, you have supply chain management. There's standalone supply chain management systems that can help organizations through their transformations with those types of tools. And there's a number of vendors that provide functionality in that area. Now, the key here is to recognize and hone in on what type of system are we looking for. Are we looking for a single ERP system that can tie together our entire operations? Or are we looking for more of a niche-focused solution like a customer relationship management or human capital management, something that's designed to address one part of our business? So depending on what we're looking for, that's going to lead us down the path of what the right answer is for us. But the key here is to identify those business requirements that are most important to you and find the technology that best fits. And to help you do that, I've included a link below to our 2021 Digital Transformation Report, which outlines the top 10 rankings, independent reviews of some of the leading software solutions in the marketplace. Another question we often get is, how long is my implementation going to take, or how long does the average implementation take? And again, it depends on the size, complexity, and scope of your transformation. But in general, through years of research, and this goes back 10 or 12 or more years of studying the market, we find that there's a steady average over time that most organizations take somewhere between 14 and 18 months to implement their enterprise technology. Now, keep in mind that number and that metric covers a wide range of companies, ranging from startups all the way on up to multinational Fortune 500 companies. So there's a lot of variation, but the average ends up being somewhere in the 14 to 18 month range. Now, we certainly work with a lot of clients that can implement technology in less time, you know, 3, 4, or 5 months. Others that are larger, more complex, and have a broader scope might take 3, 4, or 5 years. So it really depends on what your needs are, but the key here to get to the right answer for your organization is to really take proposals from the software vendors with a grain of salt and add a dose of reality and fill in some of the gaps that are typically missing from those software vendor proposals to arrive at a overall strategy and plan that best suits your needs. Another question we often get from clients is, should we implement a single ERP or enterprise-wide technology that covers all of our needs, or should we implement something that's narrower and more focused on a specific part of our business or a specific set of functions? So for example, we could implement a single ERP system that covers all of our needs, or we could implement CRM, HCM, supply chain management, warehouse management, whatever the case may be. And again, there's no right or wrong answer here. We see clients that succeed in both scenarios, and we see clients that struggle with both. But the main trade-off to keep in mind is that with a single ERP system, yes, you're getting consolidated workflows and data and processes in one user interface the entire organization uses, but you're forcing a technology that's trying to be everything to everyone into your organization, which can make change management a bit more difficult. On the flip side, if you look at the best of breed options, yes, you might find solutions that are niche and focused and address those specific parts of your business better than a single ERP system. But now you're dealt with a situation where you have to tie together those systems, figure out how to integrate them all and how data is going to be managed and that sort of thing. So it's really a trade-off between those two things, technical complexity versus forcing more of an organizational change management pressure on your organization. And it comes down to what's most important to you and what your key priorities are.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology-agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
Another common question is, when should business process management be addressed in our project? And this is a great question, a controversial question. The answer I'll give you first is what software vendors will typically tell you. Typically, they'll tell you, don't worry about your business processes until we get in there and start implementing technology, because you can leverage our best practices and you're going to conform to our best practices, so you don't really need to worry about defining your business processes. That's a big mistake. That leads you down a path of really letting the tail wag the dog and also not having a clear vision of what your business processes should be, regardless of what technology you're using. The other flaw with that approach that vendors will suggest is that today's technology is so flexible that there's a number of different ways you can set up your business processes and workflows. And if you don't have a clear vision of what you want your processes to look like, you're going to be spinning your wheels and sort of the consultants trying to figure out how they should set up the technology to best fit your needs. So the way to address these concerns is to address business process management as early in the process as you can. In a perfect world, you would start to re-engineer some of your business processes even before you've evaluated and picked and implemented a technology. But if that's not feasible because maybe you don't have the budget or the commitment to go into that level of detail because you're not even sure if you're going to move forward with a digital transformation of sorts, then maybe you do it just high enough level to be able to help evaluate and select the right technology. But then as soon as you select that technology, you definitely want to get into your business processes and start to define what those should look like as soon as possible. And I don't mean going in and defining the business processes in the way your system integrator or your vendor wants to define them, because they need to understand your processes in the context of designing software, whereas you need to define your business processes in terms of how are we going to run our business. So defining your processes and at least giving the vendor a blueprint of what you want your business to look like before they even get engaged with your business is going to be very important, because that's going to save you a lot of time and money later on. So the short answer is address business process management as early in the cycle as feasible within your organization. An increasing trend in the marketplace is that more and more companies are finding that they don't want to do a business case. They don't need to do a business case because they have to do something anyway, so there's no point in quantifying what the potential costs and benefits are. Now, this is a big mistake for a number of reasons. First and foremost, and the primary reason, is that you want to have a clear vision of what kind of benefits you want to get out of your system in order to direct the project and give you a sort of vision and roadmap for what it is you're trying to accomplish with your project. The second part of it is you need that business case to act as a sort of project governance tool that's going to allow you to make decisions in the context of what's going to deliver an ROI. Quick example would be when during the implementation, someone decides that they want to customize the technology and spend a little bit extra money, introduce a little bit more risk to the project. It's easy to just say yes or no based on gut instinct, but if you have a business case, that's going to help define or give you the answer of whether or not that's the right answer for you. So the business case can be a very powerful governance tool. And then finally, the business case can be used to optimize your business benefits after you've gone through the transformation. So companies that actually have quantified what they expect their benefits to be are much more likely to optimize and realize the business benefits that they expected, whereas companies that don't have a business case generally are more likely to fall short of their expectations. Why is organizational change management such a big deal? That's another question we often get from clients. And in fact, oftentimes clients will take that one step further and say, not only do we think it's not a big deal, but we don't think it's necessary for our business because our people are ready for change. That's a common dynamic we see. And most of the time, early in the transformation, when you're first defining what your roadmap's going to be and you're first looking at a vision for what your transformation might look like, you get the attitude or the mentality that change is going to be easy because people are excited for the project. That may be true on the surface, but as you get further into the project, inevitably you're going to have resistance to change. It's not a matter of if you're going to have that resistance and if you need change management, but the question becomes, how severe is that change management? Where are those pockets of resistance originating from, and what's the root cause of why those pockets of resistance are forming? And so the key to change management is to anticipate the change management challenges before they become a problem and mitigate those risks before they become a problem. Because by the time you realize you've got a problem, typically that's right before or right after go live, at which point it's too late to fix it, or at the very least, it's going to be very expensive and time consuming to fix. So change management is critical to literally every organization I've ever worked with in my career. And it's something that you want to make sure you're not fooled into thinking or having the blinders on to convince you that there is no need for change management, when in fact that's one of the most important success factors for a transformation. Clients also often ask, do I really need to move to the cloud? And while it's oftentimes a foregone conclusion that every vendor and every company is moving to the cloud and is going to deploy technology in the cloud, it's not the only answer. You still do have on-premise options, even though those options are increasingly uncommon. So the key here is to really, again, let your business drive your technology needs. It may very well be that the cloud is the right answer for you. It may be that you have some sort of a hybrid where you have some cloud solutions and some on-premise, but don't be fooled into thinking that your only option is cloud, because vendors may want you to think that because they make more money on cloud subscriptions, higher margins, more predictable revenue, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's the best option for you. Now, over time, this will be a moot point because I think most organizations will eventually be in the cloud simply because that's where the vendors are headed. But really be deliberate about how and when you move to the cloud, and don't feel like you have to do it right now. And if and when you do go to the cloud, you want to make sure you have realistic expectations about what it takes to go through a successful cloud transformation. Just because you've deploy technology in the cloud doesn't mean that it's going to make life that much easier in terms of the operational changes and the organizational changes and some of the challenges that come along with a typical digital transformation. Another question we often hear is, how do I staff my project, both with internal and external resources? And the key here is you want a good balance of both. You want a good blend of not just outside consultants that come in and tell you how to deploy technology, but internal resources that can help define what the vision for the company is. And you almost have to think of it as sort of a balancing act. The more outside consultants you have running your project, involved in your project, the more their fingerprints are going to be all over the implementation versus your own people. And while you want that outside expertise, you also want to make sure you have the internal subject matter experts and leaders and stakeholders involved, because it's your business. You're going to be running it for long after the vendors are gone, and no one understands your business as well as you do. So you need to make sure you have a good balance between the two. So the key here is to find the right balance, establish a clear governance structure, and be sure to check out our website and my YouTube channel for other resources and other articles that go into more detail of how to set up a project team, what some of the various roles are, how many of them you need, and that sort of thing. But in general, you want to strike that right balance between internal and external resources. What is the best phasing strategy? That's another question we often hear. And the options range from a big bang approach where you turn on the switch on new technology and new processes on day one. Another one might be a phase strategy where you phase by either module of the technology or by location of your organization. And some organizations do a hybrid of one or more of those options. So there is no best answer. There isn't one that succeeds more often than others, or one that's more risk or higher cost, lower cost than others. They're all fairly common. So the key here, again, is to look inward at who you are as an organization, what you're trying to become, what your risk tolerance is, what your implementation parameters are, and that sort of thing. And that's going to guide you down the path of the right answer for how to phase your implementation. Now, even though I said these are the top 10 frequently asked questions, it's actually 11. We've got a bonus one here for you. And that is, what are those most important keys to transformation success? And that probably is the number one question we get from clients. It's a toss-up between either that or why do projects fail, which are similar questions. But if I were to summarize for organizations, what are the keys to success? First of all, I would address the two failure points I mentioned earlier in this video, which are to focus on ensuring you have internal alignment and realistic expectations. If you do those two things, that's going to set you down a path toward success. But in addition to that, successful projects have a number of common themes and trends. They have very strong organizational change management. In fact, they tend to overinvest in organizational change management. They have very strong leadership, primarily from the business side, not the technology side as much, but more on the business side. Some of the most successful transformations I've been involved with were led by or sponsored by, at the executive level, someone in operations, either a COO or CFO, whatever the case may be. So those are a couple of the things that are critical success factors. And the one last thing I would add is to make sure you have a clear vision of what it is you want from this transformation, and let your business drive the needs of the transformation rather than the technology itself or your vendors or your system integrators. Really have a clear vision and roadmap and blueprint for what you want your operations to be, what you want your organization to look like, and that's going to set you down a path to success. So I hope this has answered a few of the questions you and your team might have as you embark on your transformation. I encourage you to also learn more best practices by checking some of the links I have below, some of the downloads that you can get as far as reports and white papers. Most notably is our 2021 Digital Transformation Report, which contains software rankings, independent reviews, other best practices that are likely to help your transformation and answer some of the additional questions that we haven't been able to cover here today. I also encourage you to check out some of the videos on my channel. I unpack a lot of these topics in a lot more detail than we've covered here today. So I hope you found this information useful.
Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.